So if you could be here around 9, that would be great. Okay?
Well, listen here.
Hi, I'm Miss H.
And I'm obviously Mr. O.
And today we're going to be talking about episode 2 of Love is Blind.
Yeah, which apparently you watched a long time ago. I took my notes for it not a couple days ago, but it's actually we're kind of flying a little bit blind here, like the show.
Yes,
because
definitely.
There's been so much going on and so much things, so
really
much
is.
Watching of things.
Yeah, definitely. I think we should maybe start off with Lauren and Cameron again, because I feel like we see them at the beginning, and then because they kind of have coupled up early, we don't really see them for the rest of the episode.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Let's do that.
Right. So they haven't met yet, but they're kind of talking a little bit. They're worried. She's worried about bad breath, sweating, bad hair, etc. The bad breath thing, I think, is totally valid.
Yeah, but you'd think in this one instance, you'd be like, I'm sure they brush their teeth right before they do
this,
right?
Well, you would hope.
They get all dressed up.
What if they have a general odor? And I wouldn't even say like a bad odor, but there have been guys that I'm just like very turned off by their cologne.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing too, is I would be more worried about too much cologne or cologne that like clashes with whatever perfumes you put on, because, you know, there are definitely a lot of guys who go overboard on the cologne.
Oh, gosh. And I don't know. I read a really interesting like smell study that guys and girls both prefer certain kinds of smells based on their gender. And weirdly enough, it's not the smell that necessarily attracts the opposite sex. So guys tend to like muskier like colognes. Mm-hmm. And so those are the kinds of colognes they like to wear. But that does not attract women. Women are not into the musky cologne. Well, I shouldn't say all women.
In
but
general, it's a generalization, of course. Yes.
Yes, generalizations definitely. And then women are really into like more floral perfumes. Like that's what they like to smell on themselves. But apparently, guys really could care less. Guys are into apparently vanilla, clean laundry smell. Mm-hmm. I think pumpkin and cookies.
No, I can't. I don't like smelling. That would be weird if she smelled like cookie. That would be unusual. I could see like a hint of vanilla or something, but that's all like food based. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I think guys, the way to their heart is through food, probably.
I mean, yes, food, but you're talking about literally baking and doing the laundry. That's like a sexist preference. I don't like it.
Well, I don't know. Hey, I'm not a guy.
I want my wife to smell? I want her to smell like a housewife. Clean laundry and cookies.
Gross. Yeah. So they finally get to see each other. And he rushes to her, and they just seem so happy. Well, I mean, but let's be real here. They're like a good-looking couple.
Sure.
Like, I wouldn't be disappointed if I was either one of them.
No, of course not. So it's tricky because, okay, something I did keep track of.
Yes.
And everybody, is where did they meet? Like, in terms of if he is at 0 and she is at 100.
Oh, like, I see.
Where
if
did
you
they
met in the middle
meet
or
each other? Because they
one
have
person
this
ran
weird, like,
farther.
Tunnel. Yeah, they wake this little, like, tunnel that they have for them where,
yes.
You know, they put them on both sides. And they take about 5 minutes to open these doors, and they backlight them and then open the doors. And they have to, like, walk to each other. And they're pretty far apart.
Right.
And so, yeah, like, where did they meet? Like, who was more excited into seeing the other person? It's kind of a rough gauge for that because sometimes they couldn't meet in the middle just because the woman, because she was wearing such giant heels and such tight dress, like she couldn't.
Yeah.
Just kind of waddles a little bit. And you're like, this is as far as
right,
I can get.
Right. That's interesting. Now that you say that, that is actually interesting. I think they met kind of equal.
It was about 3/4 of her side. He
okay.
kind of took off into like an almost jog in there. Like later we see other people who actually
also
break
has
into
like
an actual run. But like,
yeah, I was going to say he's got really long legs, though.
Based on their difference in heights, it might have been the same number of steps that they took to each other and he just
right?
covered more distance.
Yeah, that's very true. So he reproposes with a ring that looks really nice. And then it was one of those after interviews, like after, you know, the season's over, whatever. Mm-hmm. They said that the rings were actually provided by production.
I was actually wondering that. I was like, did people bring rings to this? You're going to be on a reality show tomorrow. All right. I mean, buy an engagement
ring. I guess I better pick out a ring.
Yeah. Okay.
That's kind
of
nice. I mean, I wonder if it's real, though.
I doubt it. I doubt it if production did it. It is a prop. It's that cubic zirconia.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately. So Cameron thinks everything is just perfect. She thinks everything is perfect. They're both really happy. I mean, they just genuinely seem like they're in love. And I think that's why they're everybody's favorite. It's like you got a good looking couple. They both seem to like have a level head on their shoulders. They're not super dramatic or self-centered or ridiculous in any kind of way. They both seem very mature. And they... Okay, and on top of all of these things, they seem to genuinely love each other. I think this is why they're everybody's favorite.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're really searching for, like, conflict at some point.
Yeah.
I feel like they're going for the racial angle as the conflict because they're the one interracial couple that we see.
Right.
And so, but I don't know. I'm not interested. I'm not really, really interested in that. Like, I don't know, but it's, I don't know if it's actually a big deal to either of them anyway. It's just kind of something that we have to make something a big deal.
I don't think it's a big deal, but I think it is something that's notable for her because she said that she's never dated a white person. Well, forget a white person. She's never not dated a black man before. So, I mean, and she says that she's very vocal about the struggles of black people. And so she thinks that all of her friends are going to judge her for her dating a white guy. And I feel like those are really valid things. Do I think it's going to cause relationship issues with the two of them specifically? I don't think so, because like I said, I think they're pretty mature and they seem to be not overly dramatic about things. So I don't necessarily think it's going to cause conflict, but I definitely feel like this is potential conflict that isn't of either of their doing specifically. Because she even says, like, she can still want black people to have better lives and marry a white man. Right. So I definitely feel like she has a very healthy perspective on it, but it's all about what it looks like to her friends.
Yeah. So how long are they together in this little, like, tunnel section with a big aquarium or something next to them? I don't know what it was. It was an interesting set. How long are they there together? Because I thought it was really weird. They're just there.
And then they just like have to leave.
And they just leave. And then we don't know what happens to them until they, like, next episode, apparently they go to Mexico. Like that's all we got.
Right.
Like, what
and
happens?
It kind of made it seem like they weren't allowed to hang out with one another like right after. Because it was kind of like, okay, like here, I got to see who you are.
See you later. Yeah, like when? I don't know what I'm going to see. And it kind of looked like, at least the rest of the episode, you don't see either of them in green room things either. So they get kicked out of there. Like, where did they go? They just disappeared.
Right. No, they literally just disappeared because you're right. You don't see them mingling with the others. Because I guess what would the point of that be at that point anyway? All right, so I think that's all we had. Well, all I had on Lauren and Cameron.
All right, so
we, even though they're still pod dating, it's starting to narrow down a little bit better. So it is a little bit easier to kind of
focus from here on. From here on out, I think I have three couples, and then some sort of rat king of a
five people
that are all together.
Well, yeah, we couldn't. Let's talk about the clear cut couples first.
Okay, all right. Let's do Kelly and Kenny.
All right, Kelly and Kenny.
These were people that were so weird because it was this one and the other one, Damien and
Janina,
that just kind of appeared in this episode and they weren't like barely.
Because you never saw them. Yeah.
They've already coupled up. Like they're not like engaged yet, but they're clearly like, oh, this is the only person I'm interested in.
Yes, very true. So we had Kelly Chase. She's 33. She is a health coach. And then you have Kenny Barnes, who's 27, who's in sales. He really looks like a poor man's Bradley Cooper.
I can see that.
I am not the only one to have said this. Like, I think it was kind of universally on Reddit that everybody thinks he looks like Bradley Cooper. A very young, like maybe his younger brother or something.
Bradley Cooper's younger brother that didn't get into acting. He's like
pretty much.
He's a key grip or something.
Relegated to reality shows.
Yeah.
Okay, so I feel kind of like, oh, Kelly has a lot of insecurities. And I think it's really interesting that she has these insecurities because she's supposed to be a health coach. And I think anytime you're coaching other people, you kind of almost have to exude overconfidence. And she definitely doesn't come off that way.
No, she doesn't. I don't know. I kind of think this is going to get her into a bad place because Kenny really said some things that don't seem like red flags, but they're kind of red flags, right? Because he kept talking about, like, he's a, you know, oh, he does all this stuff, and he's involved in all these things, and he's at work, and he just doesn't have anybody to talk to. And it's like, this is a super common and, like, increasingly common issue is, you know, guys that don't have any friends and don't have anybody to confide in. And, like, it just, I'm not sure if he's actually looking for a wife or if he's looking for a therapist, but he's going to use her for both.
Right. And then I think this is kind of like how codependent relationships start. You know, it's like she is insecure about, you know, things about her. And so she kind of feels at the heart of this that she might be unlovable. And so then you have this guy who is so desperate for someone. So he just doesn't want to be alone. And then you have these two people that kind of cling to each other because of what their own personal issues are. So she said she's uncomfortable about her weight and she had gained 40 pounds. And so then now she's trying to, she tried to lose it. And so now she's trying to be a health coach. And it's kind of one of those things where I find it really interesting that the people who struggle the most with these kinds of things end up doing it as their profession. And it's like, I have mixed feelings about it. So The Biggest Loser is back on air. And one of the trainers that they have is a former fat person. You know, and she says, like, I know what it's like because I used to be overweight. I used to be really fat. But now, like, I know what the struggles are so I can really help other people. But it's like, I don't know, as someone who, okay, even take, for example, like people who are like addict counselors. They are usually former addicts themselves. And it's kind of like, I feel like they definitely can relate to and understand, but I don't know. Is having someone who has lived through it better than someone who can objectively kind of talk you through it?
It's mixed because sometimes it's like, I don't know, I go back to sports. Sometimes the, the greatest, you know, the greatest athletes or whatever make terrible coaches just because they're like, just do it. I don't understand. Just get it done. I don't even understand what you're struggling with. Just do it. This is annoying that you're like, haven't just done this thing yet. Why are you not, you know, especially them with people with huge work ethics and stuff that they're just like, and I think actually it's the work ethic that's more than anything else. They're just like, I don't understand why you weren't at the gym until 1 o'clock in the morning. That doesn't make any sense. Well, how am I supposed to help you if you're not in the gym until 1 o'clock in the morning? And sometimes the recovered people, especially like Your Biggest Loser, the recovered, you know, fat person, is like, I don't understand. I was fat, and so I stayed in the gym until 1 o'clock in the morning, and I don't understand why you just don't do the same thing. Yeah, it's hard, but that's what you do. So sometimes it's like, if you never struggled with anything, then it's impossible to give advice. But if you're still hung up on your struggles, then it could be an issue.
Sure. I could see that. I wonder a little bit, but I was going to say, she's uncomfortable about her weight, but I think she looks good. Looks
gorgeous. Like I said, and everybody on this show is gorgeous. There's no bad-looking people at all in the show.
And I probably like her fashion the best. Like, of all the things that, all the dresses she wore, like, she had, like, that baby blue, like, bodycon dress she was wearing, and then she had this really great, like, palm print that she was wearing, and it's like, I just liked almost everything that she wore. And, like, she's a cute girl, and it makes me sad when, you know, I feel like they don't see that.
Yeah, Kenny, not so much. I don't know. I was also, have you ever read the book that they were talking about? They were talking about how they connected over this children's book.
No.
Read it. It's so manipulatively sad.
Like, what is it?
Okay, it's called Love You Forever, and it's like the whole premise of it is it's a kid, and like he'll mess up and like make a mess in the bathroom or something with all the toilet paper everywhere, and the mom has this like poem that she recites to him, forever you'll my baby be, blah, 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 blah. Right. And it keeps goes on and he keeps getting older and older and older and, you know, keeps messing up in different ways. And the mom recites the same stuff to him. And then, of course, at the end, the mom's dying and he says it to her on her deathbed. And it's like, oh, well, that's just
That sounds depressing.
It's like, even when I was with my kids, I didn't read that book to my kids. I was like, I'm like, why? No.
Yeah. I don't need them putting it in their head that I'm dying soon.
I was like, this is just, and of course, it makes me cry because it's like, you know, scientifically designed to make you cry. It's but good for, I guess they're good to connect it on it, because I would have not have connected with either of them because I've been like, oh, that bullshit book.
It's interesting that Kenny thinks that he would have never found someone like Kelly in the real world, It's like, maybe if you weren't so caught up in things.
Yeah, I mean, is he? I don't get what he was trying to say there. Was he saying he's so caught up in looks that he would have swiped left on her? Like he would have never even given her the time of day?
I don't know, because I think he means like who she is as a person. But I was gonna say to me, there wasn't anything especially special about her. Yes, she seemed incredibly sweet, incredibly like nurturing and gentle, like is how he describes her. But I mean, there are plenty of women that are out there like that. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't know.
Kind of wonder where Kenny's trying to find, because like, he's 27, she's 33. They're like pretty different names.
Yeah.
Where he's trying to find women. And it was like, oh, the places I was looking for women, I was never going to find anybody like that. And he kind of realizing that now could be a thing.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. Okay. I have to say or ask, why is it that every Kelly is a Kelly Marie? It's so weird to me. And it's like they've all banded together on Facebook and decided to abandon their last names because I literally have four friends that are Kelly Marie on my Facebook. Why is that a thing?
Okay, Kelly Marie, because you can't be Kelly Mary. That's weird, right?
Yeah.
Kelly Mary just doesn't sound right. Like Kelly goes with Marie, but Marie goes with Mary. And I'm Catholic. And so like everybody's, if your first name wasn't Mary, your middle name is Mary. So that's just like the way it goes.
I think it's something weird. It's like, I don't know. Did everybody just decide Kelly Marie? Like, if you're going to name your kid Kelly, they have to have a middle name Marie?
I mean, I would probably say Marie is probably the number one middle name. Like, I would guess that across the board. I don't know why that one particular with Kelly. And Kelly was relatively popular when we were kids.
Yeah, I think that's just really funny. So it was of notable interest to me. I didn't know if it was a thing that I just didn't know about.
All right, so in this episode, they ended up doing the proposal and the meeting. We didn't have to wait for them.
Yes.
So what did you think about the proposal?
I thought it was weird that he wanted her to close her eyes. It's like, why does it matter? I would have just been like, yeah, sure, my eyes are closed. You can't tell the difference. Who cares?
Yes. I would have like pulled them open like Clockwork Orange style and be like, yes, they're closed. And he had his eyes closed. He was like covering up his face with his, I don't know. I didn't get it. I didn't get the eyes closed thing.
But
either.
It's just like, who cares if you're open or closed? I guess if you want to like imagine something, but I guess you could still if you were like had your eyes open.
I guess. I don't know. You're looking at a blue wall. It's not like you're looking at each other.
It's blank enough.
That was weird.
Right. Ugh. So then I thought it was also funny that they didn't share any descriptions of one another. So I actually appreciate that considering we talked about that guy from the last episode who was like trying to ask everybody like physical questions to try piece together what everybody looked like.
Right. Right.
Yeah. So
if you were a bird, would you be a tall bird or a short bird?
Like, would you be a black bird or a blonde bird?
Possibly a cardinal? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. So they finally meet and he thinks she's beautiful and perfect and likes that she is so short.
I guess. I don't know. I don't find that height, you know, being a guy that's tall enough. I'm not super tall, but I'm, you know, tall. I don't even consider height. I don't think about it. I wasn't like short, tall.
You know what I have found, and it frustrates because I used to, when I was in my 20s, I used to party with a group of girls that I was like by far the shortest one. They were all 5'9 and above. Like I hung out with some tall, they were all really beautiful girls. And so they, of course, cared about height. So they always wanted to date a guy over 6'2. So that's going to be a challenge to meet multiple men over 6'2.
Yeah, 6'2, you've cut off 70% of men, I think. Like 70 to 80% of men are just out of the conversation.
There were a couple times where we are out and about and because we're kind of close to Huntington Beach, we would meet up with random the U.S. volleyball team, I think, a couple times.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was a good night, like when that happened. But the reason why I bring it up is because I actually was dating a guy whose roommate was like 6'5 or something like that. And it was like he exclusively wanted to date girls who were like 5 feet. Like, he wanted them really excessively short compared to him. And so, like, my friends, and I think that's, like, a thing. Like, really tall guys, like, really, really small spinner-type girls, you know? And so it's, like, really frustrated my friends because they're like, you're actually appropriate height for me, and you go for the shortest girl here.
Yeah, that is – I don't get it. I don't – you can't – I don't – I actually don't want somebody that's so short I would have to bend over to kiss them. That sounds uncomfortable.
Oh my gosh. I actually have another funny story about that. So I have a friend who's 6'2". And there is a guy who I matched with on Tinder. And the first question he asked me was, how tall are you? And I thought that was a really odd question to ask. But it ends up that this guy was like 6'4", 6'5". And he wanted to date a girl who was over 6 feet. And so he told me, he was like, if you're not over 6 feet, I'm just not interested. And I thought that was the most weird thing. And I said, oh, well, I have a friend who's over 6 feet that's single if you want to get set up with her. He didn't ask me any questions. You know, and I think the immediate thing is guys usually ask something like, what does she look like, is usually the very first thing. He never even asked that. The only thing that his sole criteria, how tall is she? She's 6'2". Oh, okay. Yeah, sure. I'll go out with her. It's like he didn't get like her age. She could have been like morbidly obese. Yeah. He did not care. He just cared how tall she was. And I asked her afterwards, I was like, what was his deal? Why was he? And she was like, oh, he doesn't want to bend down to kiss someone. I was like, that is the dumbest reason. I was like, this guy, he's an idiot. You shouldn't date him. And don't go on another date with him. She's like, oh, don't worry. That's like amongst other issues, because I was like, that's just pure laziness.
I mean, it is, but like 6'5", and 5 foot, you got to bend way over. That's like a child. That's crazy.
I get it. Anyway. But to like eliminate a partner based on that just seems really dumb to me.
Sure, sure. Anyway, I could not get over Kenny's blazer. Like, what was
– yeah, it was like it was not
he had
good.
Glitter on it for some reason. I didn't get what it was going
it
on.
It just
there.
Looked like it ran through the wash and got a bunch of lint on it.
Yeah.
Like, true. I really wanted to lint brush him really badly.
Yeah. So when they met, I think they met, I actually noted down everybody's meeting spot. They were at about 50. Like, they met pretty much right in the middle. Because I think she was one of the only women that, like, kind of broke into a jog. Almost jog. But again, she probably wore the shortest heels. Everybody, it's really hard to run in 6-inch heels.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Moving on. Let's talk Carlton and Diamond.
Yes, let's talk Carlton and Diamond.
Yeah. He says he's fallen in love with her and she feels connected and safe. And so then he says he's waited his whole life and can't possibly waste any more time.
Isn't he like 30?
Like, he's young. I don't remember how old he is.
Can't waste any time.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, yeah. He deserves someone to weather the storm with him. And I don't know. I think people use the word deserve too often. What happens in life has very little to do with what you deserve. Like, just
stop
being entitled about what you deserve and what you don't deserve. That's
right.
That's too self-centered.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, I don't really like him just in general. So so he proposes, she laughs, and then she cries at the same time, and then she says yes. And then she said that her dad passed away when she was really young. And ever since then, she said ladybugs have been a sign for her, because I think there was something about ladybugs being at her dad's funeral. Mm-hmm. And so she saw a ladybug on her mirror when she woke up after the proposal. And she took it as a sign from her dad that everything's going to be okay. So
I'm not going to judge about the ways people deal with their parents dying, because that's tough.
Yeah, definitely. But I do think it's interesting that, you know, the way people kind of interpret signs. It's kind of like, I do think that the reason why people really like look for signs isn't because they're looking for some kind of cosmic sign, really. And by sign, I mean like someone to make your decision for you. Mm-hmm. I really think it's more so that people look for signs as some kind of affirmation that they're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And so they're looking for signs to only really support what they already are thinking to begin with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, like if she had said no and saw a ladybug, she could have interpreted that the way that it would make her decision, you know, seem okay in her mind.
Right, right. Well, the ladybug was basically, yes, you're doing the right thing. You go.
Well, I don't know. She could have also interpreted that my dad really loves me and is like trying to warn me, you know?
Sure, sure. Okay. I could see that. Oh, I was thinking about it, but then I saw the ladybug. Oh, man.
Yeah, and my dad is like, nope, I'm intervening.
I did feel bad for Carlton, the amount of time she made him wait before she said anything back to him. Like, for her going to laughing and crying, and he's sitting there on his knee. She's walking around the room, not making any noise, just this seems unfortunate.
Yeah. So he says, let's do this. Let's get it. And then he says that he's not going to let any insecurities from his past ruin this. And I'm just like, really?
Sounds like he is.
You're not?
Sounds like that's exactly his plan.
I think so, too.
Like the next thing he says, like, I didn't want to come out to her because, and this is something we've talked about, you know, repeatedly that comes up on reality shows. If you're keeping a secret from somebody that you think will change your relationship, then that's a really big deal, whether or not it actually changes the relationship. Because if you think she might break up with you over this, then that's something she needs to know before she commits to you. And you need to let her know before she commits to you. If it's something else, you didn't think it was a big deal, and it turns out she does think it's a big deal, that's excusable. But if you're like, oh no, I wanted to lock it down before I let her know about this, then that's not okay, no matter what that thing is.
Yeah. So he says something like, oh, he feels like he can be himself and that no matter what he tells her that she will accept him. It's like, well, then freaking tell her.
He obviously doesn't believe that. He doesn't believe it at all.
Now would be a good time to share. Like, what are you doing?
Yes, definitely before you have gotten her to marry you. Like, and
yeah,
I'm usually pretty down on public proposals. I feel like it puts way too much pressure on the woman. And I feel like some guys kind of use it because they want the extra pressure because they think the answer might be no. And like that extra pressure on the woman is gonna crank it up a little bit. But by the nature of this show, they're all public proposals.
Right. So he thinks that he's going to be a great husband and a great father, and that but he also says that he thinks he's going to be misjudged and that he only wants to be judged on how he loves, and not who he loves.
He was thinking, he's been holding that one. He's been saying that to himself for a long time.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with what he said. It just, I don't know.
I don't know. It's coming from him that I'm just like, oh, would you just stop being so in your head about things?
Mm-hmm.
So they finally meet each other.
Yes.
Yep. Apparently she loves guys with bald heads.
Yeah. She was really into the bald heads. She says she likes his beard and his style, which is good because he really thought those were his selling points last week was his beard and his style. Yeah. He breaks into a pretty good run when they open the doors. And so he gets about 80% of the way to her.
I think the reason why he really annoys me is because to me, he just comes off as so fake.
He does.
Like, he's just comes off as the person who wants to say like the right things to make him look like the perfect man. And so, you know, it's not that he said anything terrible in this episode, you know, but it just seems so fake to me, and that he's really just doing it to create this persona of the perfect guy. And so him running to her, he wants to seem like he's kind of this doting person who is just like so excited and, you know, just is going to be all about her. So he's going to go the extra distance.
That's true. That's true. It just hit. Yeah. Everything he says, he just talks in cliche. That's all he does.
I don't really have any much more to say about
him. Neither do I.
Yeah. All I have to say is poor Diamond. Poor Diamond.
She doesn't deserve that. I mean, especially the way especially the way she kicked a Barnett to the curb last episode. Just which comes back up this episode. Just be like, you saw it right away, and nobody else could see him. What I don't understand how everybody else. And you were just like, yep.
That's the other thing that I really liked about her is I felt that she is just so mature. I feel like the way she's handled everything has just been really mature. Like, even when she in her mind is like, Barnett, that asshole. Mm-hmm. Like, and when Jessica was like kind of confiding in her and she was kind of like in the interview, she was just like, well, I don't want to say it, but Barnett's an asshole. And I would probably say, like, you know, forget this guy. But that wasn't the advice she gave.
Right, right.
You know, like she was fair in her advice. Mm-hmm. All right, we have Giannina Gibelli, which is such a fun name to say.
Right.
Yep, Giannina Gibelli. She's 25 years old from Venezuela originally. And then Damian Powers, he is 27 years old.
Yeah, so that's another one. They mate on the first time. Like, and I think we had seen her like in a couple like small like throwaway sections. Like, you know, the interviews where they montage a bunch of interviews together. We had seen her, but apparently it's their like fifth date. And she's like, oh, I'm so glad it's you. And I'm like, okay, this is new to me.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So she's really like your traditional cutesy girl. It's weird to me that she said that, you know, she moved here from Venezuela, so she struggled with English, and she said that she actually got picked on a lot in high school because, I mean, her English is pretty good now.
Yes. Uh-huh. I would never have guessed. Yeah, but she was. Yeah, I would never have guessed.
Right. But then also, she's a really pretty girl. Like, that seems odd to me. Like, she seems to me like she would be the mean girl picking on other girls in high school.
Yes. Well, I mean, it kind of reminds me of, did you ever watch 30 Rock? They had that. The main character, Liz Lemon, went back to her high school reunion thinking that she was like, uh-huh. Oh, I was always picked on in high school. And they're like, and she got to the reunion. They were like, what are you talking about? You picked on everybody else. You were the bully.
That's really funny. Yeah, because it's just like, I don't even understand. But I don't know. Kids have very weird psychologies. And I think it depends on like the high school you kind of go to. Mm-hmm. But I went to a very, very small private school. And I would say arguably the prettiest girl that was in my class, she'd actually been a child model. But everybody, it was like almost like they were jealous of her. And so they mm-hmm. were like, some of the girls were really mean to her. And she wasn't really one of the popular girls pretty much up until high school. Then high school, all of a sudden, she became popular because I think then it's like, then it becomes the case where it's like the guys start to notice and then now it's like.
Sure, right.
More of a even playing ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, she's pretty. I don't understand. Yeah,
she is pretty and she's 25, so it's not that much different, but I've had enough students that glow up during their college years that I'm like, oh, okay, I could trace that back.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, definitely. So she says that family's really important to her and, you know, she was really close to her mom just because, you know, she was here and felt like she didn't have anyone. And Damien says that family's really important to him. And so it seems like they have the same kinds of values.
It does, but who, I don't know. I don't know anybody who, if a woman says, oh, family's really important to me, the guy's going to be like, what, family? Fuck them. I hate family. Family's bullshit. Like, they're not going to respond like that. They're always going to say, oh, yeah, family's really important for me, too. It's that Carlton-esque thing, right? That's what you're supposed to say to be a good guy. You're not supposed to say, yeah, my family's ass. Like, family is nothing to me. You're not supposed to say that.
I don't know. Like, I think I would kind of be okay with dating someone who wasn't super close to their family.
I know, but this wouldn't be after. If you said, I'm super close to my family and family is really important to me, you are not going to find barely any guys at all that are going to be like, oh, not me. They're going to be like, oh, yeah, totally.
That's uh-huh. true. Yeah. They are still kind of in the honeymoon phase. I mean, everybody is really at this point.
Sure. Right. Damien just struck me as one of those, like one of those nice guys. Like he just pictures himself as, oh, I'm always so kind to women and just overly like a tryhard almost when it comes to dating.
Mm-hmm.
They can actually be, at least my understanding of it, can actually be kind of a turnoff.
Yeah. I don't know. That's so funny to me, like different people's perception, even of himself, because I think he would kind of see himself that way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I thought he was a good looking guy.
Oh, no. He's.
He also, to me, seems like he gave me vibes of player, though. Like he kind of knows that, you know, he can get girls.
Yeah, but he's a certain kind of player. He's not a Barnett type player. He's the guy that's going to be like, not. Oh, I'm so good and I'm going to treat you right and it's going to be so awesome. And then, you know, kind of plays that way instead of playing, make some sex jokes and see who's down. Let's go.
Oh, God.
He's not roguish.
Right. Okay. So one thing that Giannina does, and I have mixed feelings about it. So she says that she self-sabotages because she's traumatized by her parents' divorce. So I get it. She brings up this issue to be upfront, to kind of help the other person out, to kind of say like, you know, if I start acting this way, it's possible that I'm self-sabotaging. So, you know, like either kind of point it out so I like can kind of wrap my head around it and maybe change course, or just be understanding that it's me kind of pushing you away and that you shouldn't actually go away. So on the one hand, I think it could be helpful. But on the other hand, it's like, this is something that can be used against you.
Very much so.
In the future.
Very much so. Hey, you know when I treat you like shit, it's just because I'm insecure. Yeah. So you should just keep letting me treat you like shit. And you should keep fighting through that. It's like, no, that's not okay. It's not okay to treat me like shit. Like, that's not okay.
Right.
Can't do that.
Yeah. So I have mixed feelings about it. But I don't know. it's one of those things where it's so difficult. Do you be really super 100% brutally honest with someone to the point where they can use it against you? Mm-hmm. Or do you kind of be a little bit more like, it's not like I'm going to hide things from you, but right. maybe it's on a as need to know basis until there's more established trust here.
Yeah, I don't know. It just struck me as, you know, the girls who have like the social media thing with the, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. And I was like, no, no.
I hate that quote. It's the worst. Don't be terrible then. Don't jeez. Be terrible. So then we get to the proposal, and didn't it seem like he was really angry when he was proposing? It seemed like he was really mad. I think he was trying to hold back tears, and maybe that's why it came off that way.
He definitely was.
Yeah,
and he
but
was
it seemed like he was really angry.
Yeah, he just
yeah
he was trying to stay not emotional. Because holding back tears looked the same way as like holding back from like fighting. It's like,
oh my yeah, God. Hold me back, hold me back.
just clenching your jaw and like doing that Arthur meme with your fist and like that yeah. looked, it looked the same, but I think it was tears he was holding back, I think.
Okay. Yeah, I couldn't really tell. I was like, he looks really super angry
I
right
was,
now.
I don't know. I wasn't paying too much attention to that because I was trying to figure out what the hell he was talking about with this box metaphor and the bow on his wrist. I was like, what is he talking about?
I was just about to ask you what happened because I was like, he says something about a box and then he says, I'm your gift. And then he took the bow off the box and then he asked her to take his bow and then I was like really confused, like he was basically trying to use the bow as a ring substitute, but his analogy didn't make any sense because where was this, what, I am the bow was pretty much like
right, and he was like
no I think he said he was the gift, he wasn't the bow, he was the gift,
and the bow was on him because he was the gift, and he was like, today I give you all of me. But he said that he puts his something in the box. I didn't understand. And he kept saying in the box. And it made me think at the end of like Seven when he was going to Paltrow's head was in the box. And I was like, oh my God, what's going on?
Well, I was thinking dick in the box. That's something entirely different. Or maybe not.
If he said,
maybe not.
I am in the box and I give you this as my present, that would make that would go into it.
So they leave on a cliffhanger. So we don't know if Giannina is going to say yes.
No. But end on, I want to tell you something, which feels like, I don't know.
Who knows? It could be another self-sabotage situation.
That's right.
Okay, I think we now have the hot mess that's left, right?
Yes.
And so the hot mess is our blob of all of our leftovers.
Right, and this separates today. Like, we get some separation.
A little bit more. Today.
We get people that fall away. From this mess. So
right.
It gets split in two, basically, after this episode.
Yeah. So let's talk about the girls first and their just general impressions. So we have Amber, Jessica, and Elsie. They're kind of left. Mm-hmm. So Amber's feeling super confident talking to Barnett. She says that, you know, they will get married. So she thinks he's affirmative in how he says things, and that must be a sign.
Yeah, but he does that to everybody. He tells everybody
oh,
they will
exactly.
get married.
Yeah, but she doesn't know that because Jessica, she isn't sharing what
at
Barnett is saying.
At the end of the day, she does, though. And that was so weird to me
yeah.
is all three of them were like, yeah, I know he told those other girls they're getting married too, but with me, he meant it. I'm like, why?
Yeah.
Why do all three of you think that? I don't understand.
No, it's kind of like that whole like, you know, when people cheat, it's like, oh, well, that would never happen to me.
Uh-huh.
And then it happens to you, and it's kind of like, oh, okay. Kind of like our Megan, Sarah, Michael situation on Love After Lockup.
Right.
Like, Megan's like, oh, he wouldn't cheat on me, and it's like, enter Maria.
Right.
It's like, all right, why do you think you're special? And then Maria thinks the same thing, too. Michael would never cheat on me.
Yeah.
Here comes Sarah. It's like, all right, I don't know why you all think that you're special, because you're just not in this situation.
Yeah, they just, all three of them are just so super confident that, yes, I do know. And they, but all three of them said, I know he's telling the other women the same thing. But I
right.
also know that with me, he means it. And with them, there he's bullshitting. And I was like, why would you want to be with somebody that bullshits other people? I don't.
Right. Yeah, we kind of talked about that last week. So Elsie, she's just awkwardly in the background listening. And she's like,
well,
not really in it. It's. Yeah, it's almost like she's not really a contender, even though Barnett tries to make it seem like she is.
Right, right. Well, I mean, yeah. So to me, this whole thing where they were in the green room and Amber's talking about how much it is, she's like, oh, you know, with me, it's Barnett or bust. And it's like not even a question that we're a real couple. I mean, that was her play to scare off the other girl. Like, that's what she was doing.
Yeah, that's,
She wasn't actually like, oh, we're sharing our thoughts and things. She was like, I'm going to say this because I know they're into him and I want to scare them off. Because they are scared of her.
Yeah, they are scared of her. Exactly. I feel bad for Elsie because, I don't know, she just seems like the least dramatic out of the two. And if he really had a connection with her, I think that's his best bet for like a normal relationship.
Yeah. To me, it was like when I saw the, you know, all three of those people talking and I saw all three of them interact with him and I think Elsie is the best one. Clearly.
Yeah, definitely.
Clearly would be my choice.
All right. So we have Barnett, who generally is feeling attached to all of them. He has a conversation with the resident counselor, Rory, who really isn't a resident counselor, but he just acts like it. Mm-hmm. Rory says he should be proud of the fact that all these women are into him. And that's not so counselor-like.
No.
But Barnett says he's connecting with Amber the most. He thinks things with Jessica are superficial and it's hard to get past that. And then Rory calls him out and asks why Jessica was his number one yesterday, if that's how you feel. Uh-huh. It's like, yeah, you go, Rory, in for the kill. Ask those hard questions.
Right.
And so he says that this is all the honeymoon phase. He needs to look past that. And so he doesn't know if he'll ever meet anyone this good in real life. He says that he looks like a fool. He thinks he's being honest with them. And he says he feels stupid as shit for talking about proposing. He's not trying to be an asshole. So now he's trying to walk back the kind of hypothetical proposal he had thrown
out
to.
Which we had talked about was not a serious. That was like, if you were the only person here and there were no other women here and no other guys here, then I would certainly.
There was literally no one else.
And it's funny because she said that. And I felt really bad for Jessica because when talking about that statement to Diamond, she was like, oh, that's like nothing I've ever experienced before. I've never heard of anyone
really
that
sad.
Into me. And I was like, that's a low bar. Oh,
yeah.
Poor you.
He wasn't even that into you. I know it is poor you. Oh, yes. Goodness. So let's talk about Jessica and Barnett then together. So he says that he is ready to get married and it could be her. And then Jessica felt like her relationship with Barnett went somewhere new. And so, yeah, she had the conversation with Diamond. Diamond on the side is like, I don't get it. Why is everybody fighting over him? He's the worst.
Right, because Diamond was like, I thought you were into Mark. Like, Mark seems like a good dude. Like, Mark seems all right.
Yeah, she's definitely trying to push the Mark agenda without saying that Barnett is an asshole, which is why I said I kind of like Diamond, how she was being very diplomatic about
all of that. Oh, but before Jessica gets in the pod with Barnett, she gets in the pod with Mark and has to break to Mark that, like, there are other
people. That's when I just thought she was the most garbage of all.
Yeah.
Like, this was the really moment where, because before, like, up until this point, I've been like, oh, okay, there's nothing, like, truly anything garbage about her. There's, like, some things that are, like, kind of like, well, you know, maybe this is why we're 34 and still, like, desperate. I don't even want to say 34 and single. It is okay to be 34 and single, but she is 34 and desperate.
Yes.
So it's kind of like, I think, you know, when I judge that, that's the desperation piece is what I'm really judging.
Yeah.
So
it really makes me mad when she goes, like, I know she doesn't go out of her way and it's not a pleasant thing to do, but she has to break really bad news to him and it hurts him. And she's the one who's crying about it. And she's like, I didn't know I was going to have to hurt people. It's like, then you shouldn't hurt people. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah. You can't play people. You can't play both sides of something and then complain when it blows up in your face. Like, sorry. That was your own crap.
Well, that, and I kind of feel like she was being super vague about what it was. She was talking very generically. She didn't say Barnett at any point.
No, she didn't.
She was just like, well, you know, like, I just feel like I would be doing a disservice to myself if I wasn't, like, looking, you know, or being open to other options. And she doesn't even, like, the way she says it is just like, he's like, wait, what's going on? And he just is super confused. He was like, wait, does this mean you're, like, interested in another guy? Is that what you're saying? Because he was just really confused about what was going on.
Right.
But then he understandably gets mad because she seemed so certain yesterday, and all of a sudden she's changing her tune.
Yeah, but that's halfway his fault because he was making a concerted effort to lock it down, which is, like, kind of you know, I'm not a huge fan of that either, because he knows what's going on, and he knows there's another guy who's interested, and he was trying to be like, let me solve this problem right now. I'm going to fix it. And
yeah, like rushing into
things. Yeah, he was playing games too.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely feel like I have been guilty of something similar to that. Like, I feel like sometimes it feels like I'm in such a rush to, like, kind of lock it down, like, say that I'm in a relationship with someone, that when I actually get there, I kind of realize, wait a second, like, do I actually want to be committed to this person? I don't know if I do. It's like,
you commit because you're afraid of, like, it's almost like a fear of missing out thing. Like, you're like, oh no, I might lose it, so I better grab onto it.
Yeah,
it's like, wait,
so I better
second.
Like, get, okay, we're gonna speed up, or boyfriend, girlfriend. It's like, okay, now you're my boyfriend. Oh, ooh. I don't know if I want you to be my boyfriend. How do I take this back? Yes. I feel bad for him because he feels like someone reciprocated, like, his feelings and then pulled it out from him, because that is what basically happened.
Mm-hmm.
So he's feeling like an option and he doesn't like that. And then he pretty much, like, puts it all out there and definitely is vulnerable. He says it's either her or no one. There is no one for him. So she doesn't have anything to say to that. And so he feels like he's being played and he's upset.
Because he is being played.
Then,
he's
yeah,
because
pretty much he's being played. So Jessica goes to Barnett, and then he is Barnett.
Right. So this is when he does the same thing to her that she just did to Mark.
Pretty much. Yeah. Which is just like karma, bitch. Like, you know, you can't be mad about it.
Yeah.
You just did the same thing to someone else.
Right. Right. And it's funny because, because when he does it, she was like, oh, I don't fuck with guys like you. And it's like, well, what about girls like you? Because you
did the same thing. Yeah. So he can't even say love. He doesn't know what's up in his mind. He doesn't know how to separate feeling good from love. It's like, yeah, because he's like emotionally immature. But I mean, at the same time, he's 27. So I think some of it will come with age.
You say that.
You think so?
I had kids when I was 27. Yeah.
Well, I think you're in a different place in life. Like, if you're single and messing around like Barnett.
Where you are in life is a little bit independent of your age when you're 27. Like, you can be there's a lot of different emotional maturity levels of people who are 27.
Right. I definitely think you have to go through some stuff, though. I think most of the guys that I dated in 27 were super emotionally mature, just like this. So this is, like, also what triggers me, because I'm like, oh, God, I remember all these guys that I dated back then that was so terrible.
I mean, it just seems like he's never been somebody who's been interested in making an actual emotional connection with anybody. So there is no being in love. It's just feeling good. Like, so he doesn't know what the difference is, which is what he says. I don't know. It just sounds lame. It's like,
right.
Oh, you're still like that?
So she said she knows a million guys like him. And I was like, yep, so do I. And so he says he's not trying to screw her over. And she says, that's exactly what you're doing. And so she's over this conversation. And then he says he likes her and she finds that insulting. And so she just walks out of their date and is crying.
Yeah. She says, this is embarrassing. This is like,
yeah. So at this point, this is where I'm just like, wow, you're petty and terrible. You know, this is the episode where definitely, like, I'm just like, oh, garbage. So much garbage. So what I really hated about what she did in this is she definitely had the, well, if I can't have him, no one can mentality. So she tries to sabotage his relationship with Amber, because I don't even think it was, maybe she was hoping that if she sabotaged the relationship with Amber that he would come back to her. But I think it was just like, well, if I can't have him, no one can. Let me just ruin it for everyone.
Yeah. And I mean, if you take her at her word, it was like, oh, he revealed his true character to me and he doesn't deserve anybody. So screw
him. I don't think she cares about Amber enough to, like, really warn her.
No, but I don't think it's like, I can't have him, no one can. It's like, oh, if you're going to screw me, I'm going to make sure you don't get anybody.
Yes, that's what I mean by that.
So it's not like it's not like she's jealous of Amber or of LC. She's like, no. If I'm going to be out of here alone, you're going to be out of here alone.
Right. Yes. No, I absolutely agree with that. So, yeah. So she goes up. And at this point, it's very clear that Jessica is drunk and drunk because she is slurring and she just... And part of it was that she was crying, but, you know, she doesn't really look her best. She looks kind of sloppy drunk right now. And so she's just, like, getting close talk with Amber. She's just, like, you know, almost, like, swaying in her face. Like, he's a fuckboy. You know, just, you don't want to mess with him. He's messed up in the head. know,
right, and all that does,
don't let Barnett fuck with you.
Everything she says just proves to Amber that she was right. He was fucking around with you, and he was being truthful with me. And that,
right.
So now half of my theory has been proven correct.
Right. Yeah. So then she says, don't let him embarrass you the way he's embarrassed me. Amber just is kind of like, eh, whatever.
Whatever. She was like, well, Amber is just like, whatever. I knew he was always never serious with you. He's serious with me. So of course your relationship was going to break up. So what's the problem?
Amber doesn't even question Barnett. She was like, yeah, he probably proposed to her, but it was probably just an offhanded thing. And Jessica's the one who took it way too seriously because it wasn't meant to be that way. Mm-hmm. So I'm not concerned. And then she just looks really smug, like, I won.
Yes. Yeah. She is very much.
Elsie isn't even so in the mix. They don't. She's not even a threat. They don't even care about her.
No. And
yeah, because you don't even see Jessica, like, warning Elsie.
No, you don't at all. I don't think Elsie got along with the other girls as well. And I say got along. Got along is the wrong thing. Because Jessica and Amber clearly don't get along. But they know how to put on that game of, you know, being in the same circle and not liking each other. Like the frenemies type
relationship. Definitely.
But Elsie does not seem to get into that.
No. So, you know, Elsie and Barnett, they seem to have a lot of the similar interests. They are talking about, like, how active they are. But then he says he likes Elsie. And then she just, like, says that, you know, she always just wants to have fun. That's what she wants in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, there really wasn't much that went on with them. But they kind of had, like, fun vibes together. Like, these are people that could be, like, good friends.
Yeah, yeah. It was playful and not like the other ones we saw. It was playful, but not like sexually playful. Just playful.
Right. So then what Barnett does say, and this is something that I kind of agree, even though there has been a lot of drama and mess, is that he says he feels like he talks about deep things with Amber. He said that, you know, things with Jessica were really superficial. We saw his relationship with Elsie just seemed really fun. Mm-hmm. But Barnett and Amber, all of a sudden, like, they're talking about, you know, her last major relationship. And then she talks about how she had an abortion. And so then all of a sudden things got serious super fast.
Real fast. Yeah, very fast.
Yeah.
I don't know. And I felt like, I don't know if Barnett handled that great.
Oh, he didn't.
I think Amber thinks he handled it fine because she's really into him.
But they're both young-ish. I think like he didn't handle it great in the sense that he wasn't very comforting.
Yeah,
in fact, he really just sat in silence.
He didn't know what to say, so he didn't say anything, which is better than you could have done.
Yes, and better than saying something stupid, which I could totally see Barnett doing, right?
Uh-huh.
I think he is a bit like emotionally immature and maybe even a little bit emotionally stunted. So I think that's the best he could have done. But I mean, I don't know. To me, it just seemed really awkward. I understand that you would want someone to know that. But once again, it's like it becomes more of a big deal when you make it a big deal. You know, because how is her abortion going to affect their relationship right at this moment? Probably not. But later on, when they start talking about kids, you know, and planning for kids, then yes, this is definitely something that's going to come up and could be, you know, triggering some kind of emotion that she's going to need support on later.
Yeah, it was a lot because I wasn't sure, you know, since Barnett was so quiet, you didn't kind of know what he was thinking. If it was just, I don't know what to say.
It was a gamble.
So won't say anything.
Yeah.
Or if he was, I don't know, it kind of seemed like he was like, well, does that mean if you get pregnant, you're not going to have an abortion and we're going to have the kid? Because I don't know if I want that.
That's dark. Like, I don't know that. Dark.
Because she was like, I know you would never do that because it was in an abortion relationship. She felt remorse for having the abortion because she felt like her boyfriend forced her into it more or less, or at least it coerced her into it.
Right.
Yeah, it was really awkward. I don't know, but it seemed to me as like that was her Hail Mary. That was like, this is the biggest gun I have in my arsenal to get him emotionally attached to me, and I'm going to fire it now.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. So that's why I said it was a gamble, because I feel like that is definitely something that could have gone the way it did, which Barnett feels like they are really close because they've had deep conversations where this is not something you go and tell other people. You know, this is something, well, you kind of do. Apparently, everybody knows now. But I mean, this is something that is like more personal, and this is definitely something that could be considered like a trauma, and you know, something that you know you're opening, you're being very vulnerable about it. But it could have gone the other way too. It could have really scared him off. Like, this chick is crazy. This chick like gets into bad situations. I don't know if I want to deal with all of this.
Right.
You know, this is too much. You know, you're revealing too much too fast, and it's just too much. So, I mean, it was a gamble, but it worked out for her because he definitely felt like they had more of a connection because she did open up.
Yep, yep. And then and then we get Jessica back in the pod with Mark.
Yeah.
As her attempt, because she knows that but the Barnett's not going to work out. So now she's got to make sure that her second choice is still up for it. She's got to convince him to come back on. And man,
I wrote in my notes, Jessica comes back to Mark with her tail between her legs.
Run away. I wrote down run away.
Yes. Because she just like,
she didn't even take personal responsibility. She basically said, I was getting played, so I acted different. I was like, well, that's on you. That's
on you, right?
That's not on Barnett. Yeah.
Yeah, she said you got distracted with Barnett's game and that she just didn't know what was happening and it wasn't her, and she apologizes and she's like, it's cut off. Like, she made the decision. Uh-huh. It's cut off. And like, yes, technically you did make the decision because she walked out on him and is like, I don't mess with guys like you. But there's a reason why. Like, she was going to get rejected.
Yes.
You know, it's definitely looking that way.
Right. And that was my put down because Mark says I was always believed if you really love something, you should let it go. And if it comes back, then it was meant to be.
That's terrible.
I understand where that comes from. Like, if the person leaves and decides, oh, my life is actually terrible without them and I want to come back and I actually do love them. You're like, sometimes you don't appreciate what you have until you don't have it anymore and you come back. It's different when they leave and then get rejected and immediately just come right back to you. It's like,
that's interesting because I always kind of interpreted that more in a familial sense, kind of like the prodigal son.
Okay.
Like, I don't think about that as like a relationship because it's like, if someone lets you go, you're done. Like, there is no coming back.
I mean,
I don't know. That's how I see it.
That's how your relationship happened. People do it.
Oh, no. I absolutely see how people do it because I did it pretty much up until like probably 5 years ago. And then probably about 5 years ago, I decided like, I'm starting to see a pattern. Everyone that like there's like a yo-yo, it just never seems to work out.
Stops.
So I'm like, you know what?
Look at that.
I'm going to like cut all that second act drama and just like be done with it. And so like
hard.
It's
hard to do
when
you are really into the person and what you want is to be with them. And that's an excuse
me,
to be with
it
them.
It is very hard. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it doesn't work out for a reason. So it's like I said, cut the second act drama. Like it's all going to end up the same, whether it's now or later. You're basically like just dragging out the heartbreak.
Yeah.
You know? And I understand the reason why you get back is because you're trying to stop the heartbreak, but you're really not stopping it. You're really just prolonging it, like putting it off until a later time. And that really just like drags it out even more.
Yep.
That's the reason why I say if they leave, then it's like there is no coming back.
But you have to make that clear. It must be clear to them before you decide if you want to leave. This is it.
So he says he knows his worth and that he's not going to be second fiddle. But then it's like you're doing something different. Yeah. So he can't wrap his head around her telling him all the things he had wanted to hear. And so then now she's worried because their relationship status, Mark and Jessica, is now to be determined because she's definitely...
She had that fish on the hook and then she let it go to catch another fish and she's not sure she's going to get it again.
No, they're just trash people, but we said that last week.
Right, yes. Yeah.
Right. So student of the week was very difficult to come up with.
Okay, yeah.
I had a very hard time.
All right.
So, yeah, I think either I felt neutral about people, like they didn't do anything specifically good.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, for example, our, what is it, Kelly and Kenny? Mm-hmm. Like, they're just very sweet people, but I just feel like, there's some underlying issues there. So to me, it's just kind of like, I didn't want to pick any of them for student of the week. So I just went with Lauren.
Okay.
You know, maybe that was the easy way out. But the reason why Lauren, even though she was barely in it, was because I thought that it was good of her to recognize that there are going to be external challenges to their relationship. And mm-hmm. instead of pretending like they don't exist, it's like she's trying to make everyone know that she knows so that way she can address it in the future. So I appreciate that approach instead of pretending like, what problems? Like, this isn't going to be a problem. It's only going to be a problem if you make it a problem, you know? And like, making it seem like they don't have to worry about that.
Okay.
Yeah. What about your student of the week?
Same thing. Either people were, you know, bad offhandedly or you know, nothing. So I'm going to go with our therapist Rory, just because otherwise without therapist Rory, we'd never get to hear any of the guys' like thoughts or concerns, right? Or anything. Like, they would just all be playing pool and doing push-ups. Like, we got to have this guy around.
Yeah. My goodness. All right. What about your dunce?
I am going to go with... Wait, I wrote it down. Oh, Carlton.
Oh.
Just for what we talked about before, the keeping a giant lie. Fake. But like, so yeah. getting engaged on what you know is a lie. Like,
right. Under, so with false and then pretenses. Now you're worried about...
And now you're worried about if she finds out. Yeah, now you're worried about it. That's you. That's not her fault if she overreacts now. Now it's your fault.
Yeah, exactly. So my dunce is probably the obvious, but Jessica, for getting mm-hmm. played, then trying to sabotage Amber and Barnett because she felt like she lost, and then coming in and basically doing the same thing to Mark. It's like you are all kinds and all shades of terrible in this episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, what about your life lesson?
My life lesson, I kind of alluded to this earlier, but I think you should be careful with what you tell the other person in terms of things that you are currently working on, because I don't even think necessarily Damien is doing this intentionally, but, you know, they can unknowingly hold it against you or throw it in your face later.
Sure. All right, my life lesson is if you're going to be flirting or on a date with somebody that you don't know very well and you bring a musical instrument, you should know how to play the musical instrument. What do you...
Yeah, why in the world did he have a ukulele? And then Elsie's like, can you play? And he was like,
Why do you have the ukulele when she can't see you? I didn't understand what was going on with the ukulele at all.
He's such a bro, you know, that's so something a bro would do. Like, hey, check me out. I can play this guitar. It's like, can you?
Yeah.
It's like, no, but I look really cool holding it.
You can play like the first three, you know, play the, well, the standard bro thing is you learn like the first five notes from Stairway to Heaven and that's all you can play.
Oh yeah.
It's like, yeah.
Absolutely.
You just play like the first five notes. Like, ooh, do you know the rest? No.
No, that's all I have.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. All right, so next week we're going to continue on with this dumpster fire. I think they are mostly either revealing, because we have a couples that haven't seen each other yet, and then we are heading to Mexico.
Yay, Mexico. And then we'll have everybody paired off. So we can...
Yeah. In fact, we can maybe able to do our format that we've been working on.
Right. Yeah.
So summarization and then, yeah, so... Yeah, we're working on some things. So if you listen or watch 90 Day Fiancé, you can listen to our other podcast, 90 Day MK, Teachable Moments with Miss H and Mr. O. And that is what we're alluding to with our new format of recapping shows. So we're experimenting with some format changes. Mm-hmm. So we appreciate any kind of feedback.
And we'll see everybody next week.
Okay, sounds good.
All right.
Okay, bye.
Bye.